Hello, hello. It is time for some Mind Games Plus. Just finished recording an episode with Pooch and Swanner. That should be up. If you're listening to this, that's probably already up. I'm a little organized like that. So this is going to be pretty on the fly. I'm doing a fun episode with a friend of mine from college, Byron. Can I say it?
Yeah, you can say it.
Beamer?
No, God, please, no. Don't put that out in the ether. Oh, my God. Okay, the joke there is that's my family nickname.
You don't have to do
because that. My initials are BMW. Somehow I told Prime this. Oh.
No, I figured that shit out.
Did you? Oh, that's right, you guessed.
I mean, BMW. You call a BMW a Beamer.
Nobody else has put it together.
Well, everyone else is a fucking idiot. That's all there is. I'm sorry. It seems obvious to me.
No, that's fair.
All right. Well, as you can see, this is going to be the episode. We're going to go off the rails. It'll be great. So for a little bit, let's enjoy some insane In the Rain music with the Wii Sports Theme Fusion Jazz arrangement. All right, yeah, so that's Insane in the Rain. I don't know if I've actually linked you to that ever, Byron, but
no.
Not, yeah, that shit is, oh, it's
guy messing around, wow.
No, he's super serious about it, and I think he puts out a new video every week.
Jesus.
Yeah, I messaged him, like, pretty early on when I was doing Mind Games, and I was like, hey, I really love all your shit, can I use it if I credit you? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. Just credit me. Link me where you need to link me.
Yeah. I mean, and he's like, I mean, the arrangement is great, but also just his, like, instrumental work is...
Oh, yeah.
Nice. The recording, very clean. Like, wow.
Nah, he ain't fucking around.
Nah, right? I mean, for what? You know, just... It's like a YouTube channel. I love when people do shit like this, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, nobody's paying you.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, so... Most people have no fucking idea who Byron is. That's fine. Most people don't fucking know who I am. That's also fine. Byron's probably my closest friend. He's I met him next to a giant jellyfish.
Oh, God. Is that really where we met? Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Because you did that fucking project with Jack.
Oh, man.
That's where I met you, next to
what a legacy.
Glowing jellyfish. I still don't remember what that project, like, I remember you've explained it to me before, Jack explained it to me, I still don't know what the fuck you did.
It was a compromise is what it was. I wanted to do other things, but, you know, Jack really wanted to have a water-based instrument, and so the whole thing is if you pour water on its head, it flows through these channels that puts filters on the sound that the jellyfish makes when you play with its tentacles, and that is not a euphemism. If you, like, jiggle around its tentacles, they're all made of metal, and when they make contact, they trigger little jelly noises.
That's... yeah, that was... That was a hell of a jellyfish. Yeah, so that's where I technically met Byron. How did we... Oh, I'm...
Start hanging out?
Do you remember how we initially... Like, why you talked to me initially?
No, do you?
Yes.
Oh, God.
So I had posted on... Like, you were already my friend on Facebook. I think through Vic. Uh-huh. And I had posted about the Pac-12 investing in, or like starting an esports league.
Oh, shit.
And you had commented something. We talked, and then what? I can't even remember. I honestly, Pooch and Swanner asked me. I couldn't even remember her fucking name. It's just Chen. Like, it just sounds like Chen.
Natalie.
Natalie.
Oh, thank my you. God. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't.
I was just like, bring that up. I think it was Rebecca.
No.
They were like, oh, name drop. I think I might know who it is. And I'm like, Rebecca, I think.
No, dude. Natalie Chen.
Yeah, no. I told them, and they're like, yeah, no, you don't fucking charge money for gaming. Especially for college students. Fuck that.
Yeah, no, she's... Ugh. Biggest mistake, biggest lesson. Like, I don't know. It was too many cooks in the kitchen.
Too many cooks. Yes. No, that was a... live and learn, you know?
Yeah.
Now you're here doing this fucking podcast. Yeah, we're... It's just gonna be... it's gonna be memes, like, all the way down.
I feel bad. I feel like people are gonna get all these references. Yeah, I don't know. A little background is that, yes. Like...
The
Facebook post was... You were talking about the Pac-12 investing in esports, and I was like, Stanford needs to be on this. Like, how are we not... How do we not have an esports team? Like, you know, low battery, the existing club was absolute garbage, and so we formed the Stanford Video Game Association.
Wait, the way it played out... So I saw that... Here's how it played out. I saw that thread on Reddit. I posted that to Facebook. You said something on Facebook. On that thread, I went down looking for the Stanford post, and I replied to the Stanford post from the guy who's like, yeah, I'm trying to spearhead this at Stanford. I'm in talks with the Pac-12. I work at the business school. And that's Matt. And then we were having beers.
Oh, at Oasis, no less.
Rip. God. Oh. So, for those of you who don't know, Palo Alto is where Stanford is, and there used to be this bar called the Oasis, and that bar was the fucking best. Like, all the tables were just carved into shit. There was stuff all over the walls. Food was awesome. Great beers on tap. And it's gone. So, really do pour one out for the Oasis, because fuck that shit. So, I think with you being on, I feel like the obvious go-to's, you know, because I got to keep with the Mind Games brand. It has to be loose, got to be fun, but got to get some shit done. You know what I'm saying? You and I are both people who have struggled heavily with mental illness. And yeah. I think both of us have fallen into the trap of gaming, and we have been able to use gaming productively. You think that's fair?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So
I think, yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it definitely is a double-edged sword, right? Like, I was actually talking to my students today about this. Someone made a comment of like, oh, like, blah blah, you're so violent. I was just like, oh, it's the darn video games nowadays making all our kids violent. Like, you know, trying to make it as sarcastic as possible, and they like somewhat took me serious, and I was like, no. Like, and I had to sort of point out that it is this double-edged sword, right? Like, video games can be a great way to connect, have fun, learn so much. Like, don't even get me started on like the whole neuroplasticity side of things. But like, but then on top of that, it's also like, you know, like, it's not a sort of like monogamous or like single entity, and there's plenty of games that are out there that are just ripe for addiction and abuse. Oh, yeah. Even, right? Like,
I mean, hold on. I want to check something. Keep talking. I'm gonna look up how many hours have I played League.
Don't. But yeah, right. There's like the canonical example is like, wow, right? People like pouring 16 hours a day, like abandoning their real lives, and you know, there, I mean, there's there's balance to be found in everything. And don't get me wrong, there's like a time and place for binging, but like, I like to lean on sort of other examples of what makes an addiction, which is where it starts to impede on your everyday activities, right? Whether that's your job, school, social life, whatever that is. And just regular functioning, right? Like even just like everything from hygiene to eating at all, if not properly, cleanliness, you know, like,
yeah,
like good stuff.
Man, I know that this statistic is not right because I've looked this up before and it was a lot higher. This says only 52 total days. I'm pretty sure last time I checked total it was over 100. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time on League. That game, I am so glad that game is shit right now.
Okay, like, this actually, God. Can I just, I was actually reading about League recently. Because, like, not only, I mean, it's a fun game, right? Like, who doesn't love a MOBA? But, I mean, it's also notorious for being super toxic.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so it was actually through this thread on the Heroes of the Storm Reddit where people were talking about some new Overwatch and Heroes tactics that they were putting in to try to make, like, better communities and to reduce toxicity, yada, 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 like curbing hate speech, things like that. And the example was some, oh, my gosh, what was it, Ubisoft game, where they had a zero tolerance, basically. If you use any kind of hate speech, you were just banned immediately. Then and there, it was like a temporary thing for the first couple offenses and then a much more heavy sentence for like repeat offenders. But it was interesting because they were citing some info that the League of Legends community managers had put out where they found some very important principles like getting, like you have to sort of apply the punishment as soon as possible, as close to the offense as possible, provide like direct evidence and like basically stick to your guns. And like, and it's funny because it's very similar to like a lot of what people say about teaching and like raising children and sort of, you can't be like, hey, remember 2 days ago when you did this thing, you know, like you have to sort of catch them in the act, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to see the parallels there.
It's oh, sorry. I got a notification ding, and I was surprised. It's League is such a strange thing to me because I know that community to be incredibly toxic, and I know that yeah, a lot of those people playing are also dealing with their shit, and they use League to vent, and everyone just gets worse because of it. Like, God, there are not enough positive people in that game, and when you find one, you latch on to them. No. When I would play solo queue, I'd find, like, someone who is a positive player. Even if they're not the best player, they inherently make other people play better. And I'm like, alright, I'm dueling with you. I don't... Like, if I have to carry you, I'll carry you. But you'll make people better, so please be here with me.
Carry Dude, but that's me, like,
help me.
That's like real life skills though, right? Like,
oh God, yeah.
Right now with the startup that I'm working with, like one of the things that like my manager was talking to me about is like, I need you to be like an emotional anchor, you know, like kind of calm the storms that you can, bring people together. You know, and just and sort of be that emotional sink. And like it's funny because people might go on to vent, but I'm like all but certain that that is absolutely counterproductive.
Yeah,
you're sort of just you're reinforcing very like angry pathways, and it's like I don't know, like it's not. It seems counterintuitive. You would think that you need sort of an outlet. And I think that people need an outlet for maybe aggression or sort of like energy or whatever. But like going online and just getting pissed all the time is not going to make you less of it.
Yeah.
Like a pissed off person generally. Like,
it's that's pretty worthless.
Yeah.
Dang. I mean, you know, you read what I wrote. You edited that shit. One of the things I said was that, like, we're all sharing in those experiences, and that if we're using tactics to get better in game, like, why aren't we doing it out of game too? Because, you know, I don't know how many gaming, like, events you've been to, but one of the things that really, really strikes me when I go to, you know, Foundry or Smash and Splash, UGC, fucking weeklies, monthlies, there's like a shared sense of we all are like sharing this game experience, and in that sense we know each other. Like you become comfortable with these people that you wouldn't normally, like if you didn't play the game you would have nothing in common, but the game is enough that you're willing to be friends with them. I mean, when I had Swanner on after the episode we were talking, he said, actually it might have been during the episode, geez, he said that weeklies are group therapy. Like, straight up, people go to weeklies and they do talk about their problems and they, like, work through their shit while playing, in their case, PM. And I totally believe that, 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I feel like that's the real swing of, like, mental health care now, is like, peer support. Not only because mental health care and health insurance is an absolute debacle, like shit, I would see a therapist if I could afford one right now, but,
same.
But yeah, dog. No, like, but having supportive community is massively important. Like, my favorite example is just, like, Tanya Lerman's work, the anthropologist here at Stanford, who's just, like, looking at how schizophrenic hallucinations present themselves in different cultures, and, like, in more collectivistic sort of communities, a lot of the hallucinations are, like, largely positive. You know, they, like, don't necessarily hinder someone's life nearly as much, even though they have a lot of these same, like, sort of cognitive problems. Like, they're able to overcome that. Like, go figure, right? Like, if you have family or friends that support you, you, like, can do much better in life. But, yeah, here in America, it's absolutely not the case.
No, I mean, God. And even if, like, healthcare was better, I'd put money on mental health care still not being nearly well-funded enough.
Yeah.
I mean, sadly, we do not make the policy. There's a orangutan just living in the White House making policy with the fucking gray tan and bleached hair.
That's fair. I mean, it definitely sets the tone, and at least for the next little while, we have to deal with that. But, like, I don't know. Like, California has the Mental Health Services Act, right?
And yes, California is
so much funding. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, people don't get involved in, like, local politics so much, and it's tough, you know. Like, I wish I had more time to be able to do that, but, like.
So what you're telling me is, you're gonna run for president as soon as you're 35.
Sorry, what?
You're gonna run for president when you're 35. That's what you just said.
We'll see about that. No, man. I just care about these issues, and I'm trying to find, like, real efficable change, you know. And, like,
run for school board.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that didn't just sound easy, because it sure as hell is not. But you can make a genuine difference working for a school board. I've seen that happen in Macomb, and Macomb, you know how I feel about, yeah, Macomb. The school board, right. there are people that are elected to the school board that go in and actively make a change. Like, even if shit is bad around them, they still make a difference.
That's true. Well, and that kind of makes me think of that example of, like, what you were saying about finding positive people in League, right? Like, it really, it's like the old, it's like the old Chinese, like, sort of saying about just, like, not being able to fix the problems of another kingdom if you're not able to fix the ones in your own. And it, to me, that reads like you're not going to be able to help others unless you help yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Put your own mask on first, and, like, you can totally have real change in, like, small places just being a good person, like, go figure, you know?
Oh, I mean, it's something that has been popping up more in the Smash, like, on Twitter at least. Just a lot of people who are like, hey, Smashers, guess what? I love you, and you should love you too. Because if you love yourself, you'll be able to love other people too. And it always comes off kind of like, oh, cute, meme-y. But no, that's a pretty simple, like, that's a very simple concept. Right. And it's really, really valuable. Like, as someone who has been at the point where I try to help others and just, like, completely devastate myself, yeah, that's a worthless thing to do, and it's not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, man. I feel like that's where empathy is really rooted, right? Like, you need to have some awareness of your own emotions and, like, be able to connect that to yourself to be able to, like, look at someone and sort of, like, see where they're at, right? Like, and I think that's one of the, I always used to say this is one of the things I enjoyed about bipolar, even, like, type 1, which I was diagnosed with, is that, like, thankfully I've managed to find stability, but for having been through all of that, like, I've seen either end of sort of this wide spectrum of, like, mood episodes, and, like, I can totally, like, now really relate to people. Like, I see someone out there and they're, like, hella manic or looking, like, really depressed. Like, I can connect to that and, like, not just be like, oh, that sounds rough, like, what can I do? But, like, really be there, I think, in a more meaningful way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I and it always seems so self-explanatory, but I am able to help others, which is a thing I love doing. Like, I want to make a life out of being good to other people, and I know I can do that better when I'm doing better. Like, God, me trying to help people at my low points, worthless. Absolutely worthless. I am just a festering sack of shit at that point, and any help I try to provide tends to just backfire somehow. Where I am now, I can, you know, I'm not going to financially do anything. I can barely financially support myself, but I can be there emotionally. I can be a homie.
Yeah, man. No, and it's, I mean, I feel like sometimes when you're at those really low or high points or really off balance, like, the hardest thing is, like, coming to the realization that you might need help.
Yeah.
To get out of there, you know? Like, it took me a while. And probably would have done better if I had accepted it earlier, but, you
same.
Know.
How long was I trying to do stuff on my own? A long time. I mean, que sera, sera, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which, wait, you didn't take Spanish, right?
Nah, dude.
Yeah, so, que sera, sera.
I know the song. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. You might be just an uncultured swine. A degen, as we call them in the gaming community. Hey, I'm hip with the times, dog.
Yeah,
It is almost Wednesday, my dudes.
Stop. I'm going to leave. Holy shit. I saw some posts. Someone was like, yo, you know, like, art historians are going to be looking back on, like, memes in, like, 50 years. Just, like, memes and furry porn, and just be like, wow, look at these, like, artists hiding on the internet, like working hard to produce their work and like present it to like very like select communities. Like these people were forced into hiding. Yada yada yada. Just like holy shit.
I'm just imagining a fucking space museum, space art museum in like 300 years. You walk up and there's like a video exhibit of all of Zamontron's "It Is Wednesday, My Dudes" videos. Just like explaining the entire like the ethos of the frog.
And see, it's emblematic of the turn of the millennium. Chaos, pure, just, I don't know. Ugh.
Buddy, do you remember the shit blank says? Like, when that was kind of a meme?
Maybe? What is this?
Like, shit, I don't know, shit nerds say, shit, sorority girls say.
Shit. Yeah.
There was one for Slee. It was shit Slee kids say. And there was this entire like 2 minute, or not 2 minute, but it was a nice little montage of people saying that blank is a phallic symbol. It's like, yeah. we're going to get to a point where it's just like, man, what was with all the dick pics? Why was this a thing? Like future races will be like, why were they so just enthralled by the penis? What was it about the penis?
I don't know. They just learned about Freud. I want to be clever.
Just a brief aside. I was talking to someone about Rick and Morty recently, and Intergalactic Cable 2 came up with Trimply Pimples, and the fact that for some reason the closest thing anatomically to his heart is a human penis. That's just such a good. That's just such a good gag, and it's made infinitely better by the fact that Shrimply Pebbles is voiced by Werner Herzog, and he has that monologue about why Earthlings are so attached to their penises. Like, you gotta be some sort of just twisted to be like, yes, I want Werner Herzog, of all people, to voice this dude and have a monologue about dick.
Just that's imagine like, the immense like... stupidity of a chicken. That's an accent I really want to work on.
The Werner Herzog.
Yeah, dude.
Werner Herzog is a very sad sounding man.
Dude, he has this whole monologue about stupid chickens. Have you seen this?
No, I don't think so.
Oh my god. Hold on. Okay. Holy shit.
Oh god. Oh dear Jesus.
Can you like play it through the stream?
Can yes, you play it? Yes I can. Oh, I will play that through
it's
the stream.
40 seconds.
So what you're about to hear is Werner Herzog talking about chickens. Give me a sec to pull the bot in, set the volume, and we will be ready to rock.
The enormity of their flat brain, the enormity of their stupidity is just overwhelming. You have to do yourself a favor when you're out in the countryside and you see chicken. Try to look a chicken in the eye with great intensity. And the intensity of stupidity that is looking back at you is just amazing. By the way, it's very easy to hypnotize a chicken. They're very prone to hypnosis, and in one or two films I've actually shown that.
Yeah. The intensity of the stupidity. Oh god, I can't even, I gotta work on this. That's bad. Oh, that's my favorite though. Just no, like he's good. It's. I think that's the thing though. You can have him talk about anything, and it sounds absolutely serious, like without a shred of irony. Just like, nah, dude, chickens are stupid. Like, do yourself a favor and go find one of these days, and look it in the eye. Tell me what you see. Yeah.
I mean, I've looked many a chicken in the eye. God damn, those there's nothing there.
Mm-mm.
Just instincts. Those are just instincts.
It's wonderful though, you know. It's
I mean, ugh. I will say it's incredible. Given chickens are just dumb as just they're the dumbest fucking things ever. God damn. If you raise a chicken, it will still like it'll totally recognize you and prefer you over someone else. Oh
yeah.
I mean, I saw. I'm sure you've seen it. There's like a GIF of someone getting his fingers suckled by a panther.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, that's terrifying. At any moment, that panther could literally bite his fingers off, and he's just like, nah, it won't. I raised her. She's good.
Man, don't you just want that though?
Fuck yeah, I want that. I want to raise a tiger. I want to have a tiger that I can just like hang out with. You know how cool you'd be. You'd be the coolest kid on the block.
Walking around with the oh my god, yeah, like, until you eat someone.
You have your tiger on a leash. You're just like walking around. You have to like send an alarm out. Everyone, I'm walking the tiger.
Dude, have you ever seen the shitstorm that is next door?
What?
Next door, like the social media platform for people who live next door to you. Have you never heard of this?
No, and that sounds stupid as shit.
Oh my god, it's all like middle-aged to like old ladies, and they just, all they do is passive-aggressively like shit on people and or like, I don't know, like there's always like, I feel like anytime like a brown person walks into the neighborhood, people go on alert. You can tell them next door. But my favorite was recently, this lady was talking about how these two huskies attacked her poor pug, which is like bad, you know. But She said she was just hamming it up like, oh, they threw him word for word, 6 to 7 feet in the air. And he like slammed on the ground before they did it again, and I'm just like, oh my god, like, what?
Oh really?
Yeah, dude. And like everyone, just
nah, Byron. These are huskies from Krypton.
Dude, this is how like lynch mobs start, you know? Like just
oh yeah,
just people play shit. No, but this is
vast exaggerations of like small discretions,
right? No, this has literally happened, right? Like, boys
this
going to gas station.
This is literally Emmett Till. This is, I mean, like, let's get super real with it. Yeah, this is what happened to Emmett Till.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm going to fucking say it. Bitch tells two dudes, hey, he wolf whistled at me when she has admitted it never happened. And she just kind of wanted to throw a black kid under the bus, and they killed him and mutilated him. Like, hate crimes happen as a result of vast over-exaggerations of, like, stupid misconceptions.
Right. Oh, God.
Let's away from this topic a little bit, but...
Okay, yeah, okay.
Finish your point.
No, that was just it. I think... It's just groupthink, right? Like, and it's the dangers of anonymity as well, you know, the anonymity of a mob in this case. But, I don't know, tying it back to games, like, that's part of the sort of fear. I don't know, it's like why I wonder about, like, because there's always two sides. You know, having a moniker, getting to sort of, like, reinvent yourself in an online community is amazing. But then the other side is that people hide behind that, right? And
I mean, The first time I met Snoopé, I was just like, I asked him about him, like, what do you think about, like, people using screen names? Like, as a whole, do you think that's a positive thing? And he's just like, I don't know, I haven't really thought about it. That shields you from, I guess, being identified, but you're still identifiable, and you think you can just get away with being shitty, but really you're just being shitty. But I mean, it's something that I've had a lot of conversations about, and I get mixed reactions. So, for example, when I had this conversation with Android Armada and AMSA, you know, Armada has obviously built something of a brand on his name.
Right.
Android has kind of an association brand on his name. AMSA, his name is AMSA. His real first name is AMSA. Yeah. AMSA, and I'm going to butcher the ever-living daylights out of his last names, because it's spelled Augustusson, but it's pronounced Augustusson.
Huh.
Yeah. Or something along those lines. And AMSA, if you hear this, I'm sorry. Forgive me. But, you know, he used to go by some kind of weeby Japanese name. I can't think of what it was, but it was a weeby Japanese name. Just gonna be honest with it.
Don't you put shame on weebs.
Hey, I am a weeb. Like, I'm the one watching Slice of Life and shit.
Right, Link and Me, anime intro, theme songs.
I mean, the thing was, that show is the most, like, adorable, cute girls on the outside, and then it's, like, really, like, weird on the inside, and it has that great, just, death metal ending. Which, by the way, the singers, like I said, are the same. The band is the same in both songs, but the singers are the voice actors for the three little girls, and it's
annoying
that makes it so much better. If you're wondering, I am referring to Asobi Asobase. I think it's what it's called, Asobi Asobase, yeah. Which, it's currently playing, or currently running, and it's pretty hilarious, over-the-top, kind of stupid, just irreverent slice of life-ness. God, I was going to say something serious. Oh, yeah, no, I am a weeb. That's serious, I guess. This is my declaration. I am a weeb. Thank you. All right, good night. We're out.
That's it.
Shut the lights off. The show's over. We're canceling the rest of the season. I am a weeb. I am a weeb.
It's okay. So am I. I don't exactly have a body pillow, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I have a body pillow, but it's just a body pillow. Like, because I like having a body pillow.
Oh, well.
Like, it ain't got no cute little girl anime nonsense on it. It is like tan. That is about as exciting as I'm going to get with my body pillow. Don't you put this evil on me.
No.
Don't you be twisting this.
No. I'm sure. Get
it twisted.
I'm sure that if you turned the, like, body pillow sleeve inside out, it would be the same color.
It would be.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Why wouldn't it be? What? You said,
my what? Favorite is, I have a friend who ironically got a Luigi body pillow because he made
ironically.
Luigi. No, he bought a body pillow, and then he got a Luigi cover for it. And he just keeps the Luigi cover, like, hanging on his wall, but he's like, yeah, I have it. I can have a Luigi pillow whenever I want.
Oh, no. Is it, like, a picture of Luigi looking all sensual and, like...
Yes.
No.
And on the back is a picture of Luigi in a banana hammock.
Oh, no. Dude, Rule 34 always just absolutely stuns me.
Just how...
Right? It's the most... There are fewer things in this world that are more true. That are more reliable. You know? Oh.
God damn. It's incredible to me how that... Nah, that works. You can make porn of anything. literally anything. Like, God, I'd be... I'm sure there's some, like, weird, you know, H3 porn out there, and I'm sorry, I'm uninterested. You can keep your Ethan and Hila Klein fetish to yourself. Thank you very much.
Some dude with, like, 40 beanies on his head just...
Vape Niche Bro! Vape Niche Bro!
40 condoms. Okay, I'm done. That's... Huh. Wow. Wow.
We're going down a hole we can't get out. And, you know, I guess there's nothing wrong with a little fetish, right? Nothing wrong with a fetish.
Yeah.
Just, well,
don't yuck my yum, you know?
Probably don't. Maybe do tell Ethan. I feel like if you're rubbing one out to Ethan, like, just have the face to tell him. I feel like he'd be pretty enamored by it.
Yeah.
At least as long as you're.
Oh, bro.
You're not too weird about it. Like, no. Man, I've been jacking off to you.
Have you seen? Time. Have you seen this like? God. Have you seen this shit, like these deepfakes? Like, deeply concerning deepfakes? Have you not? Okay, I probably shouldn't bring this up. Oh, it came up on Reddit the other day. People made this, like, I think it runs on a neural net. And yeah, you feed in enough of a database of someone's face, and you can, like,
right.
faithfully reproduce their face on anyone else's. Thus, of course, leading to indescribable amount of fake porn.
Oh yeah, right. No, I know
Of real people, right? And it's like, ooh.
Yes, and no. This was something I saw. I saw this recently. There was a video of Obama talking, and he was saying some real fucked up shit. And it was Jordan Peele, like, doing the voice. Over, you know, a bot that had been fed enough information about Obama's face to make it look like Obama was basically just, you know, saying some fucked up shit. Let's just leave it there.
That's gonna, dude, this is gonna be the next, like, Trump excuse. He's just gonna be like, this is a deep fake. This isn't even real video. Somebody put my face there.
It was a hot mic. It was a deep... Stop it. You can't fake this shit. You can't get out of this. You're going to jail. And you'll die there. Hopefully. Painfully.
We've gone off the rails, yeah, man.
We're gonna take a light step away from politics. I am not about to become a politics podcast. Especially no, not no, just no. like a... You know, fake liberal media politics podcast. Jeez.
Okay. Okay. What hey, get back on track. So we were talking about.
I think the big thing to talk about is always mental health, gaming, anything like that. And I tend to expand the show into like social issues as well. It's a little bit harder to talk about because I personally do not feel like I'm qualified enough to talk about it. Like, I don't ever want to try to talk about trans issues unless I like actively understand them and have worked with trans people in the community to like get a better perspective. But right. I think I'm qualified in a sense enough to talk about depression and how gaming kind of played a role in depression for me.
Right. Like, no, and I think that's the most
valuable... be talking about things you don't know, huh?
Me?
Yeah, I don't know. Just...
What?
I'm pulling your leg, dog.
Dude, I don't do that. Come on, get out of here.
Also, fair point. I just thought this is Mind Games Plus, which is meant to be more informal, and we can talk about food if we want.
Oh shit, dog.
Like, this, I mean, and hell, I can make a full conversation out of the mental health benefits of cooking. Hell, I...
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay,
let's go straight into it. Because what hasn't been mentioned is that one of the most important interactions that Byron and I have is that we love cooking. We love barbecuing, and we would do that basically every day for like an entire summer. It was a bit much sometimes, and I ran out of ideas at points, but we did it.
Yeah.
Well, and no, like, I mean, it, oh, go ahead, go ahead.
No, I think that like it's not to be understated how like important your relationship with food is, right? Like, yeah. If you're not a prolific cook, like, at least being aware and mindful of, like, what is going into your mouth, and even just, like, how it comes out the other end, right, is massively important. Massive. Okay, no, but, like...
It's, damn it.
No, but there's... I think a lot of times the focus is about what's sort of, like, above your shoulders and between your ears, and not so much everything below, and just, I don't know, man, like, getting out in the sun, eating healthy food, getting enough water and sleep, like, you know what I mean? Like, being active.
Wait, did you by any chance read the thing I sent you?
No, what?
Oh, I sent you something else, like, yesterday morning.
I saw that you sent it, but I didn't.
Yeah, no, I have a list of, like, six things.
I'm sorry.
And no, it's fine. I was because you just listed like four of the six things on my list of six things that I was like, hey, I'm not gonna say I beat depression because I definitely haven't, and I'm just saying these are six things that I really like. I didn't do, and I now that I do them, I'm like, hey, everyone should do these, which is go outside, like eat proper,
yes,
kind of work out, talk to someone if you can get a therapist, get a therapist,
real people,
talk to people, don't just type to people, talk to people. What was the other one I had?
Sleep.
Oh, and I actually...
Do you leave sleep off the list?
I don't know if I had sleep on that list. I should probably sleep on that. Well, sleep was less an issue for me because I ended up sleeping too much.
Right. For some people, it's the exact opposite, though. You get depressed when you sleep less. Yeah.
Oh, the first point was depression doesn't give a flying fuck who you are.
Yeah, right.
Which, like, I don't know why that wasn't a thing that I thought for a while. Like, I wasn't cognizant of that. I wasn't aware of this thought that, like, yeah, depression doesn't care if I act all tough, and depression doesn't care if I cry and actually let my emotions out. So I'm gonna cry and let my emotions out, because fuck, man, I needed to cry.
Right. No, dude, and it's kind of nice to separate yourself from your diagnosis and from things like that, to be able to take a step back and look at it like that, right? And just know what you need to do. And like, I don't know, I like thinking of it almost like a habit, right? Like, it's not that you beat depression, but just that you found like wellness, you found happiness. Like, I don't know, I feel like every time I say wellness,
I found a set of solutions.
Right. Right. Well,
that's what I was saying. You know, I haven't beat depression, and I'm not going to say I have because I haven't. And I'm not going to say I have a solution to depression because I don't. But what I do have are personal solutions to like help me cope with the symptoms of depression.
Right. Right.
Like, well, I've found a better balance with gaming. A significantly better balance with gaming. I've started working out and eating healthy, and it's just like, yeah, these are all things I should have just done because they will make me feel better, because the better you feel, the more you're able to actually get out of that really shitty mind space.
Right, and like, funny enough, the more you're able to enjoy time with games, right?
Exactly.
It's not just like a mindless binge where you're just trying your hardest not to think about anything else. Like, I mean, sometimes you need that, you know, like, gaming has got me through some of the roughest times, but...
Oh, definitely.
No, but I think that it's... This is actually a lesson I got from looking into alcoholism a lot, and just, like, breaking addictions like that, dude, like, when I was smoking way too much weed, and it was, like, a one-liner where it's, like, you need to not focus on not doing that thing and focus more on doing
other positive, things.
Literally anything else, but like ideally productive, positive things. Things are good for yourself, you know? And so it's nice because it's focused more on action, real things you can do, instead of sort of thinking like, what am I going to do besides like smoking or drinking or whatever else? It's like, well, I better get to the gym because that's what I do every Tuesday, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever else, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. And I feel like that's kind of like the how I found coping skills for like bipolar is just, it's been everything from like exercise to, yeah, like cooking, even just like not only the eating part of it, but like the act of cooking is super cathartic, right?
Oh, no, it is. I mean, and I don't know if I always feel like I'm the only person who's like this, but a lot of times I will spend a long time cooking and then not be terribly hungry.
Nah, dude, I feel you.
I cook just to cook, and then I am satisfied by the process of cooking, and I don't, like, I understood why that was, because, man, if I cook all the time, I'll lose weight, because I won't be eating as much, which sounds like the dumbest thing ever.
Just gotta find people to cook for.
Yeah, I mean, last weekend when I was in St. Louis for working an event, and I did, remember the Chipotle burgers we did with the corn waffles?
Yeah, oh my god.
I did a take on that. I wasn't going to do all the corn waffles and all that. That's too much effort. I was cooking for like 20 people, all playing Smash and drinking and having a good time. So what I did was I just made Smash burgers with Chipotle peppers. Like I diced them up and kind of really worked them down with lime juice, cilantro, a little bit of cumin, and added that to the patties, cooked those down, and then I diced up onion, put that in aluminum foil with a lot of lime juice, some oil, salt, pepper, and a little bit of spices, wrapped that up, threw it on the grill, and then cooked corn, cut all the corn off, made a relish with corn, those onions, lime, cilantro, and I wanted to put black beans in there, but I didn't have black beans. And then queso fresco.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, dude. Made these burgers, and everyone's like, this is one of the best burgers I've ever had in my life. The next day at the event, I have one of the guys I was at the party. It's like, dude, I literally had a dream about that corn last night. I'm like, yeah. Dude, I will say, I take a lot of pride in knowing how to do some cool shit with corn.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, Illinois. Thanks. I'm glad we can get literally 6 years of corn for a dollar.
You gotta find something to do with it, right?
Yeah. Can't feed it all to the cows.
Right.
Or dude, the heifers.
I've been messing with corn too. Working on this like sort of Mexican corn thing. You know what I mean? Like get that corn. I don't know. Yeah, sure, maybe.
I grill it.
You know, sort of some butter. Get a kind of nice char on the outside after I've cooked it already. And then it's mayo, queso fresco. Like this. Oh my god, dude! There's this spice shop next, like just in down the street. We've got to go to when you get back. But I got some bomb smoked paprika. Like the color's amazing, super fragrant, like really nice.
Yeah, you made a lotes.
Yeah, yeah, and then like some cayenne pepper, little pepper, like black pepper, and oof.
I make cheap elotes. Elotes.
Yeah, elotes.
ELOTES.
Okay.
I make cheap elotes with, I just roast the corn, I'll have sour cream, because I don't like mayo unless I make it myself. So I use sour cream usually, and I just use, and I honestly don't know how to pronounce it. I say tajine, but...
I thought it was tajine.
See, I don't know. I've heard it both ways.
No, I know what you mean, though. That stuff's, that's what I've been missing.
It's godlike.
Yeah. I would get it just for corn.
I get it just for corn. Yeah. And occasionally if I buy like a mango, I'll sprinkle a little bit of it onto slices of mango.
Oh, dude. So I was reading this, I didn't really read the whole article, but well, actually, I guess I did. I did this once, actually. Yeah, okay. So this Atlantic article about...
Byron read a whole article.
Stop. So, dude, it's so hard. There's just so many, and I tend to just skim, whatever.
Yep.
This one was kind of short. Anyway, it was just talking about some recent research that was looking at nitrates in beef jerky and how they found that a lot of cases of bipolar and other related like mood disorders, the patients tend to have a history of eating like these nitrate sort of ridden beef. And so then like, of course, there was like a mouse study that came from afterwards where they had like regular dried meats and then dried meats that have these like nitrates in them and found significant enough differences in like their behavior. And like, I didn't actually look into the study, so that's something I'll have to do. But point is, they're not, maybe not trying to like completely destroy the beef jerky industry, but at least trying to raise an awareness that, it's important what you eat, you know, but even that like just some of the smallest additives, like these nitrates in the beef jerky might have a negative influence on you if you're susceptible or to it or whatever. Research is still inconclusive, and they made sure to be very specific about that, but, you know.
Do you have a box fan?
A what?
A box fan.
No, I saw some at the hardware store earlier.
Buy a box fan. Make your own beef jerky.
Oh my god, no.
Look up Alton Brown beef jerky. Unless you're going to go and buy a dehydrator, which is, you know, obviously the kind of better, more real option or real like avenue to take, a box fan and air conditioner filters works just fine with a couple bungee straps. Perfect. I've made beef jerky that way and it turns out so well.
Dude, box fans are like $15 to $20 and then a dehydrator is like $48.
Yep.
Nah, dude, that's, I'd get a dehydrator sooner than I would,
but I mean, you
this can, whole fucking thing.
You can reuse. I've done it with the air filters, and you can reuse those like a dozen times. And it just means you have to buy, you know, however you can, and you can just stack them. You can have as many as you want. Like I've seen someone do it with 7 box of air filters, just rows of beef jerky. Well, in that case, venison jerky, but still.
Dang.
Yo.
Okay, so that'll work in a pinch, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I at some point I need to get a dehydrator because I don't want to have to go to Whole Foods to buy my dehydrated fruit because I think the dehydrated fruit from everywhere else is just like way too sweet.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, let me have the tartness of a cranberry, please.
Oh man, dude, that'd be next level. You get that. I got the sausage maker. Mm-mm.
Yo. Real talk, are we gonna build a smoker when we get back? When I get back? Oh my
god, dude.
Find an oil drum, build a smoker?
If we can find one, yes. I'm down.
I mean, it's real easy. Just need an oil drum, need a little bit of piping, a box for the smoke box. And then clean the ever living daylights out of that oil drum, heat proof it, you're good to go.
Yeah, I'd be down. I don't know if we
and
can
it
put
doubles
it here.
Over. Well, you can find a place.
Yeah.
I'll find a place.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll be living in EV and I'll just be able to like chain it up outside.
Could do that, or actually, we have a little barbecue area. I could ask the landlord if we could put it there, but we'll see.
Get some nice smoked meats. Brisket.
Dude, no. I can't hear the words smoked meats and not think of the Zuck anymore.
Zuck?
Dude, have you not seen a smoked meats video?
No. All right, are we queuing up another video? Is it time to queue up? Let me summon the bot.
Oh my god.
All right, let me queue this thing up. Oh god, this is gonna be... It's gonna be something. All right, here we go.
Hey everyone, we are live from my backyard where I am smoking a brisket and some ribs. I'm making meats now. Smoking these meats here. Our little meat smoking. It's smoking. So I'm the meat chef. Yeah, someone asked me, do I smoke meat? Smoking meat. Smoking these meats. Smoking meats earlier in the day. Smoking these meats. Just set the charcoal up and you set the wood chips up. And then smoking meats. Grilling meats. Good smoky flavor. Smoke a brisket for like 12 hours. You smoke lemon chicken. Smoke salmon. You'll love it. Bison sirloin. Ribs and sausage. So I'm looking forward to that.
Man, this sounds like me. This sounds like a montage of a video I would make.
Big guy. And some pork ribs on the green egg.
Okay. No!
I got ribs in there. Finishing off the brisket and the ribs. And we're just sitting in our backyard.
Finishing off the yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is attempts at being relatable.
Good lord. No, I would... If I were to do a video of me grilling, I would just be saying, just like, man, I love grilling meats. You can do so much with a grill. You can do so many things with an interesting meat. You can spice meats differently. You can cure them differently. You can smoke them differently. Just all these meats. Meats. Or as they say in so many quality animes, Nico.
No.
You know I have my super cute kawaii anime girl voice down pat. Don't make me pull that shit out. Okay, so one thing I mentioned in the podcast with Pooch and Swanner, I was saying how, you know, like I said in the thing I published on Medium, you know, gamers tend to be outcasts and disenfranchised people more often than not. And right now the statistic is what, like 1 in 5 people struggles with mental illness in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say, oh, I would say 1 in 2 gamers. And I'm like, actually, I think it's like 80%. I think 80% is a pretty fair number.
What, struggle? With like some kind of a...
Yeah.
Like diagnosable or...
Yes, I'd say diagnosable.
Yeah. I mean, it like depends, like, right? Like, what do you call a gamer? Are you counting like,
yeah, let's say someone who games like more than 8 hours a week.
Okay.
Which is not hard to achieve, but like, you know, and let's say no one under 12. So 13 and up.
I could see that, but what makes you feel that way?
More often than not, when I discuss mental health, even with people that are like, for example, Armada, when I mentioned it to him, he was like, yeah, no, I've even at the peak of his success, he was like, it's a different mental health struggle, but it's like this depression of there's nothing else to achieve. There's nothing else to do, which is why he, you know, semi-retired for a while. I think even if you are successful in gaming, the lack of reward can be depressing. And if you're not successful in gaming, that is depressing. If you want to be successful in gaming, at least, you know, that can be really upsetting.
Interesting. Yeah, I see that.
Like, for casual gamers, you know, it's going to be less game-related, but I do think that a lot of casual gamers that would fit these criteria are still gamers that they turn to gaming for something, whether it's social interaction online or, you know, some sense of escapism. I do think people who fit the criteria of, like, oh, they play more than 8 hours a week, it's fair to think that they are doing it to attain something.
Right. I mean,
and I don't know if I don't know how many of those are like attempts at coping with something, but I don't think it's unreasonable to think that 8 in 10 people in some way, shape, or form, even if it's very light depression or you know, struggling with anxiety, I would say 8 in 10 people that are gamers probably struggle with one of those things, even if it's a social anxiety.
Right. Well, and I wonder if it's like a, it's kind of like a chicken or the egg thing. Where like getting back to like positive habits and like being more active in seeking activities or things that help to reduce negative mood states or whatever it may be. Like, I wonder if that just the sheer amount of gaming can preclude other activities, which would lead to just better well-being in general. You know, like for instance, sleep. You're staying up to like 3 a.m., waking up at like, I don't know, even if you're getting 8 hours, like you may not be getting good sleep if you don't have like blackout curtains or what have you.
I mean, I don't know. You know, in terms of like gaming providing more and doing more in gaming, you know, there was a kid at this event in St. Louis last weekend, who, you know, I don't know how old he was, but summer vacation, one of his, like, and this was never a thing I had, summer assignments, one of his summer assignments for something, I don't know what, didn't ask, don't care, frankly, was to do some sort of public service. And helping at this charity event was his public service. In interacting with him, he's clearly someone who's, like, he's a little bit social anxiety, like, very shy, but when he's with the gamers, it's very natural. He was able to be super helpful. He was, you know, whenever anyone needed him, he was right there. It was great. And there was I remember thinking to myself, like, wow, it's cool that he's able to use this as his public service, because it is very much a public service. Like, he didn't get paid at all. No one got paid. He just did it. And he rolled out, sacrificed a day. He was there at, I don't know, he was there before we were, and we were there at 11:30, and he was there until 11:30 at night.
Jeez.
Like, good on him. Absolutely good on him. I think his name was Jello something. So, if you're listening, Jello, thumbs up, dude. Good on you. It's super impressive to see, like, younger people using gaming as a way to do some sort of positive good. I mean, I take great pride in trying to do that. I'm 25. He couldn't have been older than 13.
What are you doing with your life, right?
Right? Man. No. Brief aside, so I was watching Cooked Juniors or Cooked whatever, or Chopped Junior, which is this kid's chop. And there's this girl who's on there, and she's like, yeah, I want to go to MIT and be a neuroscientist neurosurgeon. And she like cooks, and she thinks about everything scientifically. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, I hope she does well. First thing she does, way over planned. She has half an hour or whatever and planned too many things and struggled at the end. And I'm like, man, that sounds like me. Oh boy. This girl needs to do more, but do it better and not do as many things.
Yeah. No, that's a tough lesson to learn, you know? Like, I mean, especially you only have so many hours in the day. No, you just have like so many hours in the day, and like, I don't know. It's
it especially resonated in the kitchen because I was just like, no, I've definitely planned meals that I couldn't execute, and so I mean, I've personally become so much better about making sure that my meals are like very, very both executable and delicious. Simple, right. simple meals. Like I'm not gonna have a burger and fries and coleslaw as well, and also, you know, make your cocktails. Unless you're giving me an entire day to do it, don't expect all that to be hot or cold, depending on what it needs to be. I'm gonna make you a burger. It's gonna be a good one. That's it.
Well, it is tough. I mean, like, I feel like it speaks towards the importance of like collaborating, knowing your own limits, and knowing when to like reach out for help. Like, I feel like there are things that the two of us could do that neither of us could do alone. And but like, you know, and like execute it in like a much better way. I don't know. And
the number of burgers that I made that like. The burger itself was really complex, and I couldn't have done that without an extra pair of hands.
Right.
Like, I can only do so many things and make sure that the burger comes out hot and, like, everything is all right.
Right, right.
So.
She...
Man, I'm... So I haven't had dinner, and talking about burgers, I'm having a hankering, and I don't want to go and spend money on a burger. Woe is me.
Gotta make freezer burgers, man.
Yeah, especially since I made burgers. And since, holy lord, I bought 5.5 pounds of, it was 73.27, so like, kind of frustratingly fatty beef, but 5.5 pounds of that's fine for $11.
Dang.
Yeah. You know, that's still here. Actually, I wanted to actually calculate that. Kind of food nerdy me was 5.56. So it comes out to 4.0588 pounds of meat after all the fat cooks out, and when I cook it, not all the fat cooks out.
Right.
And I made. God, I probably made 40 plus patties, so most people had double burgers. Ugh, those burgers were so fucking good. And they were easy. The only thing that was hard about it was making 40 of them.
Right, just like the sheer volume.
Yeah. And I worked on a tiny grill. Like a grill the size of... I don't even know. Just a little bit bigger than yours.
God.
And I had to cook corn on there. I had to cook onions on there. I had to cook burgers on there. And I had to make sure everything was still hot at the end.
Jesus.
Bless the fuck
That's
up.
That's a feat.
Nah, afterwards, I was just... destroyed. I was exhausted as shit, but everyone being like, dude, those were bomb ass burgers. It's such a satisfying feeling. Like, that was always, even at the worst of my depression shit, when I would cook with friends and my friends would be like, holy shit, this was delicious. Like, yeah, I know. I know I could do this. I just don't. Because I'm fucking depressed. And I don't have the motivation to do it.
It's hard without the social motivator too, right?
Yeah. And
like cooking for and with people.
Yeah. And cooking, I think, is one where, man, it is just vastly different cooking for someone else. Like, it doesn't matter who it is, but if you cook for someone else, I always feel incentivized to cook better.
yeah,
cook more more conscientiously.
Yeah, no, and you, conscientiously, get a little more creative, try a little harder. Oh man, damn, you got me hungry too. Oh,
What are you gonna have
tonight? Some gnocchi, pesto, got some like shrooms and broccoli. Gonna roast some red bell peppers with yellow. Throw it all together.
I might make some stir fry. I have stir fry vegetables. I have chicken I can thaw out. I can just like quick thaw it in the microwave. And then I have gochujang. I have Korean barbecue. I have a teriyaki. And then I like adding just a little bit of this papaya jerk sauce that I found for $1. And it's surprisingly good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's a good one. So that's probably going to be what I do after this in a few minutes here. Because I'm famished. I last ate at like 11.
God. And it's even later over there, man.
Yeah, it's 10:20. Like,
Jesus.
Yeah, the only issue I have is that thawing chicken takes 13 minutes. Ugh.
Ooh.
It's a hard life. It's a hard life. Well, hold up. Well, Byron?
Hey.
It was good talking to you.
You too. You have to have me on again. I want to...
We'll do a more official episode at some point when I've actually planned questions and ideally when we're just chilling in either my place or your place.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, maybe we can stream some food stuffs.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Yo, of course.
Wait, oh, no.
Oh god. The ribs. Why? Why have you come back?
What are you guys making for dinner?
No, please God.
Brisket
no.
Ribs, I hope.
No.
Brisket and ribs. Ribs.
Wait.
And the brisket need to be...
Hold on. Stop. There we go. All right. Gonna play us out with some more Insane in the Rain with Splatak Funk. All right. All right, Carlos. Play us the fuck out.